We've been studying about Luke and what Luke wrote in Scripture. He wrote the Gospel according to Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. I think it's 52 chapters. It's kind of a chronological order of things from before the birth of John the Baptist until the Apostle Paul had been held prisoner in Rome for 2 years. And we're really in the 24th chapter of Luke, examining the time period between the cross and the day of Pentecost. There are 7 weeks involved there. And it seems, if you think about it, that those who had Jesus crucified probably were now satisfied, because it seems like there was no more preaching. There was silence there. They weren't being convicted, were they? You don't read of anybody getting saved during that 7 week time period. Jesus' disciples hadn't been endued with power from on high, nor had they come on the scene yet. They were still in a state of cowering a little bit, if you will. We probably don't think about that so much in our minds, what happened during these 7 weeks, the 50 days until Pentecost. And so that's what we're studying right now, is what took place during that time period. And I was looking at a verse here just a minute ago in Matthew 26, if you'll turn there. And we'll get back to where we were last week and move on. But in Matthew 26, we'll read from verse 33 through 35, because it kind of emphasizes the point we're about to make. This is Jesus talking, and after the night and the meal at the Last Supper. And verse 32, we'll read that first. "But after I am risen again," Jesus says, "I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Note verse 35. "And Peter said unto him," he said unto Jesus, "though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Note this part. "Likewise said all the disciples." So Peter wasn't out here alone. And then if you go to Luke 24, 61 and 62, in the verses just prior to this, Peter had denied the Lord 3 times in the cock crew. And we read there in Luke 22, 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." That's 3 times. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." And how long did he hold that feeling of bitterness of him, with what he himself had done? And so we mentioned last time in closing that, and we're going to go to John 21, so if you want to turn over there, go ahead. But before, or since that time that Peter denied the Lord until we're here in John 21, in the middle of that 7 weeks when Jesus, between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost, Jesus made several appearances to his disciples. Well, since that time here in John 21, Peter's emotional life, if you will think about it, had sailed a tempestuous sea, to say the least, probably with many a sleepless night. And him fishing all night was another sleepless night. And you stayed awake at night thinking, you know, with the burdens of life maybe. And what you would have liked to seen done differently maybe in your own life. Forgetting that the Lord is the one who directs our steps. And Peter probably knew the facts that we read last week also in Micah 7, 18 and 19. You don't know, I have to turn there, I'll read it to you. It says this, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Jesus did this on the cross of Calvary. Peter also would have been familiar with what was written in Jeremiah 31, 34, and you don't have to read that, turn there either. I'll read the last part of the Jeremiah 31, 34 to you, which says, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Isn't that amazing? He can remember a lot of things, but he will remember our sin no more. Christ died for our sins on Calvary. So we know that Jesus had already forgiven Peter for this transgression, which he predicted he was going to have anyway, that he was going to deny him three times, which he did. But Peter hadn't really forgiven Peter until perhaps this night when he had assembled himself and six others to go on this fishing trip where they went fishing. And so we find, if you're here in John 21, we're in verse 7. Well, let's read verse 6. Let's read verse 5. This is after fishing all night. Then we'll go to verse 4, okay? Might read the whole thing. Let's do that, okay? We'll start in verse 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself." The Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee, which is also Lake Gennesaret. I think that's how you say it. "And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." So if you do the math, there's seven of them there, counting Peter. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, well, we'll also go with thee." They, whatever Peter did, yeah, let's do that. That sounds like a good idea. "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." And we mentioned this last week. Yeah, they caught nothing. They didn't ask the Lord to help them catch anything. They didn't. There's no mention of them talking to the Lord at all. And we talked about this a little bit. When you go to work or when you go to any place, do you ask the Lord to go with you? Do you ask the Lord to help you? You ever been downtown looking for a parking place? Lord, help us find a parking place. Boom, there it is right there. I didn't see that a second ago. Yeah, amen, all right. I've been there several times. "But when the morning was now come," verse 4, "Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus," because they weren't looking for him. They hadn't looked for him all night. I wonder if they even thought about him. Well, probably, but, you know, what do we know? Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Why would they call them children? Hmm? And they're probably thinking, children, what kind of way is that to address us? We're grown men. We're fishermen. And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now when they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes, therefore, verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He wasn't trying to drown himself. He wasn't. There are some commentators that say he was probably trying to drown himself. No, he wasn't. Can you imagine? That's why you want to be careful what you Google up and read and believe, you know. Read the scripture. Peter cast himself into the Sea of Galilee, knowing full well that it was the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the shore, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the shore who had compassion upon him. He had realized after pondering this for several weeks probably that he had cast all his sins into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. By casting himself into the sea here, Peter was leaving his old fisher's life behind, probably realizing, I'm not good at this. I'm not as good at it as I used to be. I used to be a lot better. I used to catch something, but ever since Jesus came on the scene, I haven't caught a thing, you know? And so he was now finally embracing what Jesus had told him there in Luke 5:10. You go back there and look at it. This is when Jesus first encouraged Peter to follow him. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, there in Luke 5:10. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. But up to this point in time, from henceforth, these 3+ years later, Peter hadn't caught anybody. Had he? Had any of the disciples? Well, we'll let you ponder that. Sister Bodie, in her study book on John, here's what she said here in John 21:7. Concerning Peter here. The ship was not fast enough for this exuberant, ecstatic soul. His Lord, for whom he had longed, was waiting yonder. That meeting is not described. We wish it were. Maybe it was too sacred as Peter poured out his tale of repentance that he had not waited for his master. End of quoting Sister Bodie. But remember, we read here that Jesus told him he would meet him again there in Galilee. Well, they're in Galilee, okay? And she makes mention of all this because it was Peter's idea to go fishing here in John 21, and it was the other 6 disciples that followed Peter's leading. And you got to realize here also that this was the 4th time since his resurrection that Jesus had appeared unto Peter. He hadn't appeared to anybody else that many times. Peter, like me, a little bit of a slow learner. We all, the rest of you, probably get things the first time it's ever said or read, but I don't, and Peter didn't either. But the Lord knew the prominent place Peter would have among the kingdom apostles once endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. And so here we get a tiny glimpse of how the Lord lovingly continued to encourage Peter after his resurrection. The whole of chapter 21 of John expresses the Lord's love and encouragements to Peter to continue to follow the Lord. He wasn't going to be physically with him anymore. This is a step of faith. How do you follow the Lord? Like the Old Testament worthies did, by faith. Yeah, that's how we follow the Lord. By following the Lord, this would be the only way Peter would be able to catch men, by receiving the Holy Ghost. It would take the power, the enabling power of the Holy Ghost for Peter to catch men, and he received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And we'll get to what happened there, because Luke was the one who wrote about it. But if the Lord tarries, we'll get there. In Acts 2. So this whole chapter of John 21 records the turning point for Peter. When was your turning point? You got to ask yourself that. Because after this, we find that Peter fully followed the path the Lord had put him on back there in Luke 5:10, where he had told him, "I will make you fishers of men." John 21:8, let's go there now. We're in John 21 today. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So here we find the Lord had already provided another meal for his hungry disciples. You got to imagine, this was going to be a breakfast like none other. They're never going to forget this one. I wonder, did Jesus' disciples here recall the 5,000 men and plus women and children that were fed with a young man's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes a few months earlier in the fields nearby of Galilee? I wonder, did Jesus' disciples here think, where did these fish come from? Wait a second. We've been out here all night. We didn't see anybody. We weren't looking for anybody either, were they? But they'd fished all night, and verse 3 tells us they'd caught nothing. Did Jesus' disciples, I wonder, here remember what Jesus taught them in John 6:47-48, where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." Where do this fish and this bread come from? I am. There he is. John 21:10. Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Wait a minute. The fish that they'd caught, or that the Lord had instructed them on how to catch? Finally, maybe they're getting it, huh? They didn't catch nothing all night, but they did after they followed his instructions. Let's go back and remember that day when Jesus said to his disciples, the day he fed the 5,000 men, women, and children with the young man's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. We read this in Matthew 14:17. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are we going to feed a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He said, "Bring them hither to me," there in Matthew 14:18. Well, here in John 21:10, Jesus said the same thing. Perhaps this might have triggered their memory of this event of feeding the multitude with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In John 21:10, Jesus says, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Was Jesus interested in counting the fish they'd caught or any of that? No. Jesus, the master teacher, was always teaching his disciples a spiritual lesson. And sometimes they got it and sometimes they didn't. Jesus' focus wasn't upon earthly things, but on heavenly things. But he would use the earthly things to illustrate the heavenly. Here the fish, which were now caught, they were really the Lord's fish, which he allowed them to catch. They caught nothing without his help. These fish were really the gift of the Lord, which he allowed them to catch with his help. And certainly Jesus' disciples recognized this. John 21:11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Back in Luke 5, verse 6, Peter had followed the Lord's command there and caught a great multitude of fish, so much so that the net was being strained to the breaking point. Jesus said, "Cast your nets," and they, "Yeah, right. I've been here all night. I'll put out one net, okay?" And then verse Luke 5, 6, and 7, it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke." It means was strained to the breaking point. Because if their net broke, they wouldn't have caught anything. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so much so that both ships began to sink. Their nets didn't break. They about sank two ships with the load they took. And if the net would have broke, they would have lost this multitude of fish. So Luke records in this of Peter in Luke 5, 9. Peter, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken after following Jesus' instructions. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. From that point forward, they followed Jesus up until this fishing trip of John 21. Now, after Jesus' resurrection here in John 21, we find these same disciples, especially Peter, once again being strongly encouraged to follow Jesus. In John 21:11, we find 153 fish caught in the net. The special mention is made that this net wasn't broken. And it was Simon Peter who went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Notice here that it was Peter who drew the net of fish to shore, 153. And the reason why only Peter was mentioned here is because it's Peter's fishing trip. So they're going to attribute the fish to Peter. Peter was the only one in verse 3 who said, "I go fishing." The other six just joined Peter on his vision trip. I don't think they felt sorry for him, because they were fishermen too. So I think this was kind of the Lord's way of reminding Peter here in John 21 what he was told initially when he was forsook all and followed Jesus. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. So I asked the question, what is the lesson being taught in these two passages of Scripture in Luke 5 and in John 21? And of course, as always, there's several lessons taught here. And one of them takes us back to the time when we did our meaning of the numbers in the Bible, that study we did so many years ago. And one, we found that one of the number 153 pointed us to the Apostle Peter in three ways. In the two portions of Scripture that we read here, we find a net crammed full of fish. When we get to Acts 4:8, we'll read this statement. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that means the thought being expressed here, is that Peter was filled like a net crammed full of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Are you there yet? Another lesson being taught here in these portions of Scripture of Luke 5 and John 21 is that these fish were being used by Jesus to represent the men Peter and the other apostles would catch for the Lord. Not one fish is recorded as lost. When captured in the net of Jesus' love and salvation, none is lost. Don't let anybody teach or tell you differently. Jesus said, if you look back, go to John 17, I want you to see this. Jesus said in his Lord's Prayer, which is in John 17, really the Lord's Prayer. He's praying to God the Father. In John 17, 12, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And you can underline this, none of them is lost. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's a reference to Judas. So we realize then, back here in John 21, Peter was not yet fully equipped or prepared to catch men, but he was here being encouraged by our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on how to catch men. It would take the power of the Holy Ghost to equip Peter and the other kingdom apostles with the boldness needed to proclaim what we read in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go back to John 15 for a minute. We'll read verse 16. I'm thinking that his disciples must have remembered some of these things that Jesus had told them. John remembered it and wrote it down. And he told his disciples, Jesus did, on the night of the Last Supper, what we read there in John 15, 16. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And furthermore, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And note this one, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Had Peter and the other apostles truly embraced these most holy words of Jesus, Peter would have asked God the Father in Jesus' name to fill his nets with fish prior to going fishing here in John 21, but we mentioned that they obviously didn't do that. And no record is mentioned of Peter or any of the other disciples doing this. Perhaps they did. And if they did, their request was answered, wasn't it? Because Jesus came on the scene and filled their nets. It was Jesus who filled their nets with fish. It is God the Father who gave us Jesus, who fills our all in all. Look up all in all. That's a statement only the Apostle Paul makes. Go to Ephesians. We've been studying Ephesians on Wednesday night Bible study. First chapter of Ephesians. We're going to read 22 and 23 of Ephesians 1. My poor mom, who's at home watching, is probably getting writer's cramp trying to take all these scriptures down. But they'll listen to it again, and you all can get the notes when they are published. Unfortunately, nobody sends me the notes ahead of time, so you could have them. Ephesians 1, 21, 22 says it like this. Speaking of God the Father in Jesus, it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yes, he fills all in all. Jesus had called and appointed his disciples, these disciples who went on to become the kingdom apostles. He had appointed them to a lifelong task, and that task wasn't catching fish. That task was catching men. But again, here in John 21, they were not yet equipped for the task of catching men. But on the day of Pentecost, when they would be filled like a net crammed full of the Holy Ghost, then would they be able to catch men. That is, adding daily to the church such as should be saved. And when they got to that point, it still was the Lord who was doing the adding here. Acts 2:47. John 21:12. We're going to run out of time here shortly. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And John records in verse 14, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. But as we mentioned earlier, it was the fourth time he'd appeared unto Peter, and it was only the second time he'd appeared unto Thomas, because Thomas wasn't with him that first time on the night of his resurrection. And this would again be the fourth appearance to Peter. And let's see. Again, remember those words in John 15, 16. They probably came to their mind right here. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, we're going to run out of time thinking about this, but you can think about this this week. Jesus' words here, come and dine. In the simplest terms, it means to take a meal. But has he ever asked you to come and dine, take a meal, do a feast on the Word of God? We'll get to that. It's kind of quiet there in that portion, you don't see a lot of discussion going on that's recorded. But if you ever had a meal, a really good one, and said nothing? So there must have been fellowship going on. Pretty good fellowship. We're going to read a little bit, if you read on. The fellowship that Jesus was giving Peter here. Instructions to Peter, which all of them heard, because it applied to all of them. They weren't saying, man, this is the best fish I've ever had, even though it might have been. But they didn't say, where'd you get these fish? Where'd you get this bread? I got to have the recipe for this. They never said that, did they? Maybe they did. But they knew the recipe, didn't they? Follow Jesus. So this satisfied them, satisfied their stomachs. And he can satisfy you and me too as we feast upon his word. And I'm going to leave you with that thought because the bell will ring. And we'll talk about this more if the Lord tarries till next week. Right on cue.